News. I'm Daria Albinger. Five people are under arrest in connection with a shooting at a Philadelphia park where more than 1,000 people were celebrating the end of Ramadan. At least three people were injured, including a teenage gunman.
As the officers start to deploy into the park, they observe three males and a female riding, and they stop those individuals, and we recover four weapons.
Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel. President Biden and Japanese Prime Minister Kishida held bilateral talks today at the White House on the delicate security situation in the Pacific, the war in Ukraine, and more, followed by a joint news conference. The prime minister and his wife are now being honored at a state dinner. Severe storms continue to push across the South. In Slidell, Louisiana, they're assessing the damage from a reported tornado which touched down today. At least one storm-related death is confirmed in Mississippi. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling for a special meeting of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee next week to release $125 million to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Evers' plan would let the Department of Natural Resources decide how to spend the money instead of a framework created by lawmakers the governor vetoed yesterday. Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 will likely come up when the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues meets in New York next week. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa says Line 5 is still a threat to their land.
The Bad River Band is already at a risk of an oil spill because the pipeline is going directly through their reservation and the reroute. I mean, if you look at the map, it's basically hugging the reservation boundaries.
Stephanie Sosi is a lawyer for Earth Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that fire management crews will conduct prescribed burns on DNR properties throughout the southern half of the state. Many plant communities in Wisconsin would cease to exist in their ideal state without fire to restore the balance in these communities. The DNR's prescribed burns are conducted for the health of these ecosystems and mimic the natural benefits that fire historically provided. These benefits include removing invading brush, decreasing dead grass and leaf litter, and promoting the growth of native fire-dependent vegetation. For a look at current and planned DNR prescribed burns, visit the DNR prescribed fire dashboard. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed a Republican bill Tuesday that would have created grants to fight pollution from so-called forever chemicals. Evers also took the unusual step of calling the GOP-controlled Budget Committee into meeting to approve spending $125 million to deal with contamination. Evers and Republicans have not been able to agree on the best way to combat pollution from PFAS. With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulak.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers beat the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with a 9-5 win over Cincinnati. The winning pitcher, Brewers starter Joe Ross, getting his first major league win in nearly 3 years after having Tommy John surgery twice. Manager Pat Murphy.
That's the story of the game, Joe Ross. I mean, that guy was the Joe Ross of old.
NBA, the Bucks beat the top-ranked Celtics 104-91. But maybe without Giannis Antetokounmpo for a while, he limped off the court in the third quarter. Doc Rivers met with reporters.
Yeah, they're testing him for the calf right now, which obviously MRI.
Okay, and as far as you know, there's no updates on that. It's just...
No, he just left a little while ago.
NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues in Beloit, Platteville, and Madison. I asked Leroy Butler about the Packers' new safety, Xavier McKinney.
More than anything, he can play multiple positions like as I did. He can play in the deep middle, he can play in the box, and he can play in the slot.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pappas Trading Post in Arena is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission bow retailer. Pappas Trading Post offers you a team of experienced professionals ready to help you get the perfect new bow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-40s. Clouds thicken for tomorrow, the wind picks up, and a few showers around for the afternoon and evening. A high to the upper 50s. Sun's back and breezy Friday, high around 60. Sunshine in 70s for the weekend. Currently at 68.
At Benson Insurance Agency, they've got you covered for life's unexpected twists. From life and car insurance to home, UTV, four-wheeler, farm, commercial auto, and property, they've got you covered. Count on them for competitive rates and professional services that prioritize your peace of mind. Your protection is their priority. Call them at 475-0216 or email bensoninsurance23@gmail.com. Benson Insurance Agency, your trusted partner in safeguarding what matters most. They're not just agents, they're your advocates.
We bring the excitement.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Wednesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, educators amplified in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny, there they are. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie back in doing some, you know, radio talking about things that are happening. Hey, speaking of, though, how are you? We haven't seen you since last week. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, what's going on in your worlds? Joanna.
Got a little silence there, but okay, what is going on? I've been extremely busy. We are now in, you know, it's after spring break. So in school world, now it's like rush and get everything done that we said we were going to get done. And so it's a very, so I'm feeling that. I'm feeling the rush, but very appreciative for the bit of energy I'm feeling with the longer days in terms of light.
Nice. Yeah, it does feel good, huh?
Not longer work days, the ability to see outside through the windows at dinner time. And it's not dark, Teacher Hallie.
Oh, I'm coming off just right now off a phone call with, I'm the president of a local union. And so they're in the works of negotiations, for salary and stuff. And so it's just interesting to hear, the thoughts of working with district administration, the teacher perspective, and then the sadness and like this teacher was like, we've never received cost of living increase since Act 10. So since 2011, they haven't received a cost of living salary increase, And so you just kind of sit in wow, And so, people are fighting the good fight out here. And I'm happy to
no cost of living increase. And that's over 10 years now since Act 10. And and today we get the report that inflation is back up again. Oh man, I know. Though, Teacher Joanne, I was wondering though, when that kind of potential rush, because knowing this, the season that we're coming into or we're in, say after spring break, kind of there's this sense, isn't this the kind of this is where the rubber starts to meet the road here, teachers and kids, man, because we got lots and lots of testing to do. And is this starting for you guys?
Yeah, I was. You know what?
I'm sorry to bring you down.
No,
I bring you down.
It's the truth, and that's where we're at. Yeah, we're in testing season. And I think it was last week was the first week back after break here. And I'm going to tell you, pre-COVID, coming back from break, it was usually kind of quiet the first couple days coming back from break. Like the kids were still kind of tired because they stay up late over break. And you could have counted on it to be kind of, again, low key. Post-COVID, that is no longer the truth. They come back cranked up, and then go right into testing. And so it's kind of both. It's like, I don't know, the years feel different, but then I was in a school the other day where kids were just kind of, it did seem kind of like wandering a bit. And then they kept coming into this office where I was meeting with the administrator being like, you know, is it still second hour? And everyone was literally confused because it was a testing day. And you're like, only certain groups of the kids are testing, but it impacts the schedule of the whole school. And so, you know, then there's where my compassion comes in of like, you know, it's hard. Like, it is really important to have a, think about with your own children. It's important to have like a predictable routine. And so, yeah, it is testing season. And well, that throws it off.
Let me frame testing season then a little bit differently as we're coming in for the topic tonight. You all have nothing to worry about right now because nothing's going to change. Because here we are 40 years now after A Nation at Risk, our friend Robert Pondicio in the 74 putting out there, you know what, you teachers and the kids, that it's not going to make a darn bit of difference because everything we've been doing up to this time has failed miserably, of which I do agree with him on. And we shouldn't get our expectations up too high right now because the reality is that he and the people who have been loving A Nation at Risk for 40 years have finally come to the realization that all along they should have been focused on curriculum, high quality instructional materials. If they would have just focused 40 years of effort at changing the curriculum, because teachers, you guys just shouldn't be responsible for producing curriculum and teaching materials, because it's obvious that the teaching materials in the curriculum that you guys have been producing over 40 years hasn't done anything. And as we know now during testing week, you know, criticism here, though, 40 years after A Nation at Risk, could curriculum reform finally move the needle on academic improvement? That's the premise. That's the paper. Teacher Hallie, I can see tears dropping down your cheeks. You know, Joanna is grabbing a hold. And look at that right away, too. Man, we haven't even got into this. Jim, we got a caller already. Jim from Appleton. All right, Jim, we're going to let you jump in here. I know you're sitting there going like, I want me some high-quality instructional materials. Thank you, Busted Pencils, for bringing this up. Jim, what's happening?
Well, as a school bus driver, I can really relate to, yeah, they're not sedate coming off from spring break. But what I really wanted to hit you on was the inflation is up. No. Inflation isn't up. The stock dividends are up for all of the stockholders because the corporations made record profits again.
Nice perspective there. Thank you for that shift and that smack upside my head, because I needed it, obviously, to be out there. Johnny's got that look like, yeah, Tim did need a smack, and if I could have reached through the screen, I would have hit him.
Nah, Tim, I'm picking up what you're laying down. But first, man, Jim, thanks for driving the bus, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's important work. I mean, we can't do any of this stuff we're talking about without all the folks that come together to make public education and education possible. So love what you do, Jim, and thanks for it. And yeah, man, the kids aren't coming back from break sedated at all. There was, you know, a lot of energy coming out of the gates this week. So, you know, and Tim, I'm following what you're laying down. But
okay,
man,
yeah, I was gonna say, put it out there, right? High quality. Yeah, it's like, whoa, wait, really? Again,
no more high quality instructional materials. Great. That sounds awesome, but it's not true. It's usually because that whole report, and I'm sorry, Tim. I got a little snoozed off during it because I was like, man, I'm so many years into hearing here's the best quality instructional materials. And I look at it and it's like maybe a different color cover on the book that's really expensive and not what I need in my classroom. Not what I need as a teacher to do my job better. I know this stuff. I have things that I need. It's like a wish list, and none of it comes through that high quality instructional material stuff that you're talking about. And I'm not saying you're talking about, you're reading about.
I'm reading about it, and I want to read a little bit here, and then we're going to jump in with Teacher Hallie and quote. This is right out of the middle of the article. There is one arrow in the policymaker's quiver. Sounds to me like he had AI write that. In the quiver that remains mostly unutilized and can be used to affect positive change. Curriculum reform, the adoption and implementation of high quality instructional materials, that would be HQIMs, and making curriculum and its implementation central to school improvement efforts, contribute to working conditions that allow teachers to focus on lesson delivery, not design. Because we know you teachers who went to school for years to become professionals in curriculum instruction, you don't really have the expertise to be messing around with curriculum. Leave that to the professionals who produce HQIMs, high quality instructional materials. Joni, I will say, in all my years of preparing teachers, I feel like I've let them down because I never once introduced my future teachers to high quality instructional materials. Teacher Hallie, I'm sorry if I steered you the wrong way when you were becoming a teacher.
I'll be honest. I read this and I was like, what is this gobbledygook? Like, I mean, on one hand, it's tough. It was hard to read. Mm-hmm. Like, my biggest thing reading it was, okay, if I try to think about if someone was reading this, would they be like, well, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, then I know if you think it makes sense, you've never been in a classroom before. You've never taught, you know, because as I'm reading it, I'm like, this is what we do. And I'm also like, curriculum is not the problem. You know, like, I don't know. It really was an awful article. And it's concerning for me to think that people believe it.
It's concerning, and I'd say this, because actually this carries a lot of weight in the reform movement. This is, you know, their inability to let go of what they started 40 years ago. I mean, here it is. This is counterattack again, high-quality instructional materials, and this is the bad teacher narrative. But, you know, hey, look, wait, how can you argue with, he quotes a research that says comprehensive, content-rich curriculum is a common feature of academically high-performing countries. You know, so in those countries where they do good testing, they have high quality instructional materials, Teacher Joanna.
Well, that, when you were reading the initial piece, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know we want to talk about this maybe for the show, but I'm like, this is quick because it's like they just need instructional materials to match their guaranteed testing contracts. That's all it was saying. That's all it was saying is like, we've got the market on, we've got the testing contracts. Now we need the curriculum, and I'm doing the air quotes, to match up with it, to really, you know, and it has nothing to do with teaching or learning and everything to do with marketing and sales.
There it is. I was going to say, Tim, you use the sarcasm, so I have to follow because I don't always like the sarcasm. But then I was like, oh, yeah, Tim's using sarcasm. That's that thing. But I was saying, because Tim, otherwise, man, I just, like, three lines in, I was like, I was waiting for the line that says, and I have a timeshare in Vegas for you to buy and swamp land. And like, as a teacher, like, you read these things and we're like, okay, what are you selling? And probably my superintendent or principal's buying it. So let me just get to the point of like, where it's at. It's not what we need. It's not what we want, but it's a long-winded sales ad. It's like the weird commercials that come on
before my break for all of us. Yes, this sounds like selling us bad condos. For my neighbor, this sounds like the solution. I want to poke some more holes though. 40 years Nation at Risk, my goodness, they will not go away. Education reformers, look, if you're a reformer, give us a call. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
News from the center, WRCE.
From infants to men size 19, the Shoebox has shoes for the whole family in the latest styles and fashions. Boots by Columbia, Wolverine, Cat, High Tech, Skechers, Bear Paw, and more. Even football, basketball, baseball, and track cleats. Visit the Shoebox, a local Wisconsin company, and it's a win-win for you and the community.
Shop elsewhere, and your money says goodbye. The Shoebox, located in Black Earth, where you receive service like it ought to be.
This is Mark Jelenic with the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We would like to thank the many local civic organizations for all the work they do for our area over the course of a year. Groups such as the Lions, Knights of Columbus, Kiwanis, Rotary, the VFW, and American Legion, along with many others, help to make our community a great place to be. We often forget to say it, but thank you. From the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Gattiger Pratt Funeral Home, and Seelan Houston Funeral Home.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make when it comes.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Yeah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified Wednesday night in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, you can jump in too, 855-752-4842. And we do have caller Mark from the SAC is on the line. Mark, what's happening, our friend?
Yeah, and interesting conversation today and talk about, you know, what we need to do, you know, for education. I mean, but I can remember back when I was in, I think it was eighth grade, we read Great Expectations in class. That, and the lessons learned there is that, you know, a young boy is staying, you know, his mother has died, and he's staying with an aunt that really doesn't care about him, but a caring blacksmith, you know, stepfather that's taking care of him, Joe Gargery, and he meets an old convict, and he helps, you know, he generously provides that old convict with food, and it gives him his, you know, his legacy, you know, later on in the story. That, and then moving on to 11th grade, I can remember reading Julius Caesar. I mean, there's the political lessons, there's the power of oration. And both of those things, you know, one was, you know, 150 years old when I read it, and the other is 400 years old when we read that, you know, that play, Julius Caesar, you know, by Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that could be, you know, that maybe that's too dated to work in today's curriculum. But I think that it, with a little imagination that you can work that in and learn important lessons, because nothing in politics has really changed. You know, that it's just a different cast of characters, and that people have been practicing politics for a couple of, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years. And yeah. I mean, that, and you see the same tactics from back then as today, and that that it's just the characters have changed, and, you know, maybe some of the technology, but
you know, you know what, Mark? Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, as you talk about this, you know, would those books can be counted as high quality instructional materials today? Teacher Joanna, you've got to kind of look.
Not in its entirety. Remember, okay. Reading now is in pieces and not in its entirety. But I, too, read Great Expectations and loved it.
Oh, yeah. I was a Charles Dickens man myself. You know, I think I told a favorite author, but my junior year in high school, my English teacher who was teaching us to write research papers said, well, if you pick him, I think he's horrible and you're not going to get more than a C. And I thought he was joking. And guess what? I got on my term paper, C. Didn't make me not like Charles Dickens, though. Made me not like that teacher because, well, you know, what was happening was the schooling. I don't know, Mark, thank you so much for the call. Always enjoy
when you're
participating.
Call,
yeah, always participating. But, you know, the high quality, Joanna, you made a great point there saying, like, not today, because the whole idea of a book length is just things we don't do. And this, you know, kind of thinking about this push here, too. Remember, this push is all about academic achievement, as if academic achievement is the main, only, solely purpose of Johnny Lupinacci schooling. Well, yeah. And you know what I would say? In a schooling world, Johnny, they're right. It is the only.
In a schooling world, Tim, we're reading that article you sent us.
Didn't go.
And I'm not reading that. I read like three lines and I'm listening. I love you. And I love like the patience Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie have because they keep saying it. Guys, we need to do it differently. We need to just put it to the side and do what, like, read the room. read the energy of the children or what their needs are or what our body needs are. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna gave us that diagram about, you know, the physical, like the emotional
domains.
And I kept thinking about them with our guests last week. Tim, we had Martin Atkins, punk legend, talking about post-punk and saying, you know, education to him is punk because punk went against the grain and said, stop controlling what we're doing and telling us we have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. We're going to sound a way, feel a way, and share. And it's raw from what we're thinking, what we're believing, and what we want to share. And I kept thinking, this is like Ed Amplified on Wednesdays always talks to us about like teaching, like how Martin talked about being post-punk. Mm-hmm. You know, so Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, like shifting gears to him, because we do have to talk about that important stuff. But I'm like, TLDR, it's another acronym for you. FOMO. Tim learned FOMO last week.
So okay.
Now we're on TLDR, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
You will at the end of the show. But anyways, it'll be a surprise for you. But then getting to it, like we trudge through that stuff. But then I just want to be like reminded that teaching can be so different. And like the art of it, the craft of it, the being present at the moment of sharing and learning in classrooms and the energy that young people have to make the world a different place and being part of that. I remember Teacher Joanna saying, do you just want to teach? Like, God, like.
Well, I have two experiences that I'm thinking of just from this week that can maybe lay this out. One was the eclipse, that right? Kids can like learn about the eclipse.
I'm not sure that was part of the high quality instructional materials for the
week.
Well,
right. But then going out with the glasses and seeing it, you know, to me, it was just that, it's palpable, right? About how like it's different on paper versus experience and how kids are experiential. And that, you know, that's how they learn is by doing. And so, right, back to that article, that just, you know, relegates high quality curriculum to worksheets. Mm. It's worksheets on a screen. And that's a place, but it's certainly not the center of instruction. It certainly isn't like what, you know, it's much more the how than the what. And so, yeah, the eclipse this week really was like, I just remember feeling that because I was having just such a great time being surrounded by a bunch of middle schoolers who were in it. It was just so cool.
So Hallie, I'll at least go to my good student who did do the reading here and go, I'm not advocating, just so make sure everybody knows, I'm not advocating the point, but what concerns me is with the vigor of which this author just puts forward the argument of saying, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, look, you don't have the time, you don't have the expertise, you don't have the knowledge to be out there trying to create curriculum. Okay, great. You took advantage of the eclipse, but you know, what did you do? Go and find something on, you know, on Google about how to do it? That's low quality stuff. You should have your time better spent being given the appropriate materials so you can teach. And Hallie, it was offensive to me because I could see in this case, he literally, I mean, it was not even hidden. Like, look, teachers are largely going to be mediocre to not very good people. And because of that, we need to give them high quality materials because the quality of who they are is always going to be crappy. That was offensive.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, this was anti-teacher, this entire article. So I'm like, I can't believe Tim sent this for me to read. Like, does he want me to be like depressed all day? No, I was fine. But I'll tell you just one thing. As your best student sitting here, what I did is I looked up, you know, who is this resource? So I critiqued the source and immediately saw like, oh, this is like supported by like the Walton family and whatever. Mm. But then you know what else I did? I put it in, and Walton family's not good. So right away, I knew like, this is going to be BS. But then I put it into ChatGPT and put summarize.
Wait a minute. Okay, more busted pencils. Teacher Hallie.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin have more than doubled their property tax revaluation since 2020. Forward Analytics says local governments want to make sure property owners aren't underpaying their share in taxes if the market value on their homes is soaring while their assessed value stays flat. New worker safety regulations may have unintended consequences. The federal government